joining us. She's back. Yvonne Sampson from Fox League. And the best part is, with us all working remotely, I can see her on the screen in front of me. And talk us through the jumper you're wearing there, Vonnie. That's not a Broncos jumper, is it?
No. It's an old Annandale's jersey.
Gotcha.
Yeah, one of the worst rugby league teams in history. But I live in the inner west, and I don't know. I like it. I think maybe I was drawn to it because it's got the maroon and gold. It's a little bit Bronco-esque, but definitely not one of those glorious Powers Bitters jerseys. But, I thought if you guys are going to see me, look, I still look dreadful, by the way. Good morning, and I'm frightening everyone. I'm glad that no one else can see me. But
you look beautiful, Vonnie.
I thought I might just put a little jersey on. It's magic round. It's time to wear your rugby league jerseys. I nearly put the South Queensland Crushers one on. That's my favourite.
Well, it is an exciting time with magic round, but I'll tell you what, Brisbane Broncos fans will be waking up this morning with the news that Adam Reynolds, that's the likely destination for him for the next 3 years. That's a big signing for Kevy and the Broncos.
That is enormous. And this is, the name that they were chasing. We know that Katoni Staggs was holding up, what he wanted to do, because everyone wanted to know who will be the Brisbane Broncos halfback. And now it looks very likely that it is going to be Adam Reynolds. I mean, South fans are absolutely shattered. I was looking on social media this morning. They're so upset to have lost one of their homegrown champions and premiership winners and out-and-out beloved locals. But great news for the Brisbane Broncos. And, Clarkie, I totally agree with you. I think this appointment now takes the Broncos into the top eight, no question. He's an all-rounder. He's a magnificent playmaker. The kicking game, the best we've seen in many years in the NRL. So, I mean, Adam Reynolds, obviously, he would have loved to have stayed in the borough, but we now know he only has about 4.5 months left. And with that time, he would like to deliver another premiership. Of course, he was front and centre of that historic 2014 grand final for South Sydney, and what a time that was. Just to be there on grand final night, to hear glory, glory ring out, there was so much emotion. And he said yesterday, obviously his manager, Chimes, told the Sharks that they would not be moving to the Shire, even though the Sharks offered more money. I think they were about 200,000 short of what the Broncos ended up coming in at. So Broncos were reading a 3-year, $2.2 million deal, but Adam Reynolds heads to Magic Round and gets to display his wares in front of his next NRL team. I mean, as a Broncos fan, I'm thrilled for him. I think it's fantastic. And, of course, selfishly, I'm very happy for the Brisbane Broncos.
Vonnie, what does this do for both teams? Firstly, South for this year in the short term. Can they still go on and win the grand final with Adam announcing this? And the other one, what does it do confidence-wise for the Broncos? Even though Adam's not there, does this lift their spirits a bit for this season?
Oh, of course. The reinforcements are coming. Doesn't that give you a lift? You know that whatever you do and whatever you are able to accomplish and perform this year, you can build on for next season. So that framework will now be Kevy will put that framework in and around that playing group so that they're able to, welcome Adam Reynolds in. And just it gives you a bit of a pep in your step knowing that a champion like Adam Reynolds wants to come to your club, of course. Mm. Because all the headlines have been that the Broncos have lost this player, the Broncos have lost that player. It's been a one-way street so much for the Brisbane Broncos. But, of course, and look, to Adam's credit, he hasn't let any of these negotiations be a distraction for his personal game. So, yeah, what it does for South, I think now they make the most of the time they have left with Ren Diggity, as he's known on Instagram, and go on and win that title, despite giving up 50 points, which the history books tell us they can't win a premiership once you give up 50 points. But I think that is absolute hogwash wash. I think the bunnies will be there at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think once they get their full complement of players back, Vonnie, I think everyone realises they've got such a great attack, but if they can get their defence right, then they will certainly challenge the big two at the moment, which seems to be Penrith and, of course, the Melbourne Storm. But I want to ask you about young Kyle Flanagan. So we go from experienced halfback in Adam Reynolds, who's been there and done it. And the last 12 months, 18 months for young Kyle, it hasn't been the best. And to see him front the media the other day and break down when he was asked about the influence his father's had on his career, how did you see that unfold? What were you thinking? And have the Bulldogs handle it the right way?
Yeah, I felt so sorry for Kyle, and I think everyone did. I think we sort of got a bit of an insight into how much pressure he's been under, and look, rugby league and the NRL, we love a father-son combination. We're going to see another edition with Brett Arthur and Jacob Arthur this weekend. And I think it really, when you saw the emotional toil that it's taken on Kyle, I thought how incredibly Nathan and Ivan Cleary have handled what can be a really difficult setup and situation personally and professionally. For Kyle, look, you know, he lives at home. He's obviously very, you know, he's very influenced by his dad. And it was the question about his dad, Shane. And that was, you know, because those emotional questions, that you can't dance around that, especially at that stage of his career. So I felt like Kyle felt like he was letting everyone down, which is definitely not the point and not the case at all. The Bulldogs CEO, Aaron Warburton, came out and said that, you know, look, we gave Kyle the option to you know, deal himself out of the media call, but he wanted to front up. And I think that shows a lot of ownership and responsibility and maturity on Kyle's behalf. But, yeah, look, it's been a really tough time for Kyle, and I think the Bulldogs are obviously going to put a lot of support around him and make sure that, you know, he has everything he needs. But, yeah, I mean, it's tough being an NRL player. It's tough fronting up to all those questions, and especially after getting the bad news that you're no longer part of the team for this week. And, you know, I mean, full credit to Kyle. I felt like he did a good job.
Mm. Do you think it's right we place so much pressure on the halfbacks in every team, Vonnie? I mean, it seems as though everyone else can fail at stages, but as soon as a number seven fails, the spotlight is on them.
Does it come along with the pay packet? Is those the expectations? And I think even at the end of sets, when they sort of peter out, we go, well, what was happening? What did you have set up? Why did we just run dead there? So I think it does come back to the halfback, and we're seeing that reflected in the market now. You know, you need an expert dominant halfback to make sure that you're competitive in this premiership, and that's why the halfbacks are getting, you know, so much money and so much interest, because there aren't a lot of match winning halfbacks out there. You know, they're really hard to develop, they're really hard to find. So, you know, that's why we're seeing, you know, players like Adam Reynolds go to the Broncos, because he's wanted. So, yeah, I think if you've got the seven on your back, the responsibility is yours. And that's just the way it is.
Well, the Raiders not in the spotlight as much this week with all of the other news going around. But Josh Hodgson did speak yesterday, Vonnie, about, well, he said, relinquishing the captaincy was the hardest decision he's made in his career. Says he's still got, what, 4 or 5 good years in him and would prefer to stay in Canberra, and there's no issues with Ricky Stewart. So reading that, it was all rainbows and butterflies, but we know it certainly hasn't been there in the nation's capital.
No, it's been dreadful, hasn't it, the last few weeks? We spoke to Ricky last week just before that game, and in Wagga Wagga, I tried to lighten the mood, said, mate, you're due for a bit of luck. If you had any joy in the Wagga Wagga Gold Cup, he was like, rah! He was so grizzly and cranky. And look, I think the commitment and the contentment at Canberra has never really been an issue of late. And now we're getting off-field dramas, we're getting the wag, you know, blowing up on social media. And look, that sort of dramatic off-field stuff isn't really Ricky's way, and he likes to keep a lot of that very tidy. So he told us he's been dealing with this for weeks and weeks. For Josh Hodgson, I loved his quotes. He said, look, I'm not daft. I know that I'm one of the old blokes. I know that I'm coming to the end of my career, but he still feels like he's got a lot to offer, and he knows that Josh Starling is the future. So he said it was really difficult to hand up that co-captaincy, because I think that's something that having that C beside his name made Josh feel a little bit more invincible and you know, acknowledge the leadership that he does have on the field. But the game is new, the game is quick, and unfortunately the Raiders look a little bit sharper with Josh, you know, darting in and around that dummy half. But yeah, I felt bad for Josh. I hope he stays at Canberra. He said he'd be open to other offers, but yeah, who knows in this market.
Vonnie, can you believe the impact that Tommy T has on Manly? I mean, they are a different outfit, and we know the stats are there to support that when he plays, Manly are a better team, but I'm trying to rack my brain and find another fullback from another club that just means as much to their playing group as Tommy T does to this current Manly playing group?
There is no one, is there? And I even try and think over the years. I don't know if anyone has changed so dramatically that the makeup of a team. And Manly stocks have absolutely skyrocketed since Tom Trbojevic returned. I was just looking at the Telstra tracker this morning. Now, Tom Trbojevic is the leading athlete with high-speed distances. So in just the last month, he's had 4 tries, 8 try assists, 9 line breaks, and averages, oh, sorry, and has 800 metres in the last 4 games. So it just, his speed and his timing and his connectedness with the other players, his try scoring threat, it just, and he brings the whole team together. It's just really, I just don't know if Manly are half the team without him. And I know that that's a bad thing. I know they want to be a complete unit, but you can't deny the influence that Tom Trbojevic has. Just he lifts those around him. He's an exceptional. He must have an incredible aura. I mean, I know he's very tall and very athletic, but he must just have that special chemistry that when he's there, they all play differently. And they're the Seagulls that you love to watch, because they have been absolutely brilliant and getting better by the week. So, yeah, I mean, Tom Trbojevic has been outstanding and the stats are there to back it up.
Vonnie, we heard, excuse me, Brad Fittler, the New South Wales coach, overnight announced that he won't be selecting Boyd Cordner. For mine, it makes sense. Do you think it's the right call?
But how could you throw Boyd into Origin? You know, you just couldn't. And we know how intense Origin is. And if we're being fair to him about welfare, there's no way that you could throw Boyd Cordner into that.
Would he have expected that, Boyd, or do you think he'd still be disappointed? Because he's that type of guy where hard on his sleeve, such a competitor. He's been such a great player. Is there a part, do you think, where Boyd would have went, I don't need much preparation, I know I've got this, I know I could still do it? Or do you think he probably expected it?
Oh, for sure. I think when they made the decision at the Roosters to say, mate, take the first bit of the year off, just make sure that you're 100% and make sure that we're doing everything that we can to look after you. And I think they probably thought, well, he might come back around Origin. And I think Boyd probably thought that too. But now that we're sort of a few weeks away from selections, it just has become very apparent that there's no way, and it would be unfair and very cruel to Boyd to just throw him into an arena like that with you know, no or hardly any preparation. And of course, he is a professional and fitness wouldn't be an issue, but I just don't feel like that's something that would be in the best interest of Boyd, and Boyd understands that.
What about the Tigers, Vonnie? Disappointing display against the Titans. And the Titans can attack, there's no doubt about that. But we expected a lot more from them coming up against the Titans on the weekend, and in particular for the Tommy tribute game.
It just doesn't make sense. I can't get the West Tigers. I really want them to do well. And we see the emotion on Madge's face, and you just wouldn't be an NRL coach. It doesn't, for all the tea in China, it doesn't matter, but because it's almost emotional abuse what they put their coach through. Like, it is crazy. They look like a completely different team from one moment to the next. And of course, Madge has done a fair bit of spinal surgery this week, which we'll get into. But I've bought into it. I must have lost my marbles because I've tipped them this week. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm going to send myself off for an HIA. Honestly.
You need therapy, Vonnie. You definitely need therapy. I love the Tigers, but if you're picking them this week, you need help.
I've done it. I've completely lost it. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I've been saying that for 10 years.
Well, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, it's just, you know, obviously, we're going back to the halfback, they cop a lot of flack. Do you think it's Luke Brooks' fault?
Oh, I don't. I think it's the fact there's no consistency. And again, I'm talking about for the last 10 years. Is it the style of play? Is it how they're training? Like, there's a million questions, but the hardest thing, I think, from a fan's perspective to watch is they build your hope, they break your heart. They build your hope, they break your heart. And I know sport's hard at the highest level, but I've been saying, even last season, for me, it's not necessarily about the wins and losses for the Tigers right now, even though we're all result-driven. But from my perspective, I'm like, you know what? Just show me the same brand of footy for 4 weeks in a row so my hope can build back up. At the moment, it's like, watch them play go. Heart, character, how good's that? Watch them play go, oh, my God, was that reserve grade? The gap between good and bad is so inconsistent but so regular that I'm not even sure my heart's able to be broken anymore, because it's like you have a good week and I'm like, okay, lock them in. They can't play like that again tomorrow.
Magic round starts 6 o'clock Friday night. The Tigers, $2.55 with Tab against the Newcastle Knights, $1.50. The line is 5.5. West Tigers at the plus. Team changes. Well, Michael Maguire certainly has made a few, with Adam Dewey going to centre. Moses Mbai to 5'8". Jacob Little is back at dummy half. Jake Simkin out then. As for the Knights, not a lot of changes after their win against the Raiders last week. So, Vonnie, you've already hinted who you're tipping here. Why are you doing it?
Look, I've been going not great with my tips anyway, so I thought, what the hell, it's magic round, and I'm going to go opposite to what I would normally do. So, and that makes no sense either. So I've gone the West Tigers, because when they should win, they don't, and when they shouldn't win, they do. So that's the only topsy-turvy explanation I can give you. But, I mean, Michael Maguire has really made a bit of a statement for this team, and I guess Moses Mbai summed it up best, that Madge, by dropping Dewey, wants to agitate the team and improve things and really sort of make a statement that no one is safe. And you know, fans were outraged, saying that Dewey's been their best player all year, which you can't deny, and Dewey himself is bitterly disappointed. So it's been a bit of a shock to the team, and they do need to change things up. They are the worst defensive side in this premiership. They're second last on the ladder, and you know, it's just been 9 weeks of hell, really. So I've tipped them. And it doesn't make sense, but I have. The Knights are great. They're coming off a great win in Wagga Wagga over the Raiders. And we all sort of focused on why the Raiders lost. And I guess we didn't give the Newcastle Knights much credit for what they were able to do. Kalyn Ponga, Tyson Frizzell, Jaden Brayley, they were all standouts in that second half. So it was a case of whether Canberra were terrible in that second 40 minutes or the Knights were great. David Clemmer has said that it was time to take a good hard look in the mirror, and that was not just for himself but for the entire Newcastle Knights team. And it seems that's exactly what they've done. It looks like they've turned a corner. So they should win, but I've tipped the West Tigers because it's magic round and I don't care.
I can't tip a team that had a try scored against them off a kickoff. I just can't do it to myself, and I want to see the West Tigers do well. I think you're right there, Vonnie. We didn't give the Knights enough credit for what they did last weekend. You know, they were behind against the Raiders team, who played good football in the opening 40 minutes. And then in the second half, they faded. But the Newcastle Knights had to take advantage of that. They did that by building pressure. Ponga got his hands on the football. Their forward pack started to get some momentum through the middle of the field. And all of a sudden, it became easy for the Newcastle Knights. And they looked a different team playing on the front foot. So I reckon they can back it up, and I reckon they can get the job done against the Tigers.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Knights.
Yeah, the Knights for me as well. And just this text, please don't blame Luke Brooks. You need a forward pack that goes forward with quick play, the balls to then play off the back of that. They don't win the ruck, says Justin at Airlie Beach in Queensland. Listing no doubt on the Tab app or the Sky Racing Active app. Good on you, Justin. Von Sampson from Fox League joining us. We're previewing each and every game for Magic Round, Round 10 of the NRL. And we're up to the second game on Friday night, which is between Manly and the Broncos. They're at Suncorp, 8 o'clock, and the market with Tab has Manly $1.32 favourites. They're -9.5 at the line. Brisbane, $3.30, and Vonnie, they suffered a big blow losing Pat Carrigan for the season, and Jake Turpin steps up as captain this week. It looks as though Marty Tapau will return from a head knock as well for the Sea Eagles.
Yeah, bizarre. This will be an away game for the Broncos in Brisbane. Such is the weirdness of Magic Round. And as you mentioned, they've got a brand new skipper, Jake Turpin, because Kevy really likes his consistency and his tendency to show his leadership through all of his actions. So no Pat Carrigan to that ACL, but they get that banana farmer from Innisfail, Tom Flegler, back in at lock. So, look, I think the motto for the Broncos internally is you know, strong this week and next. So they were great in the Queensland Derby. They missed out by 1 point, but I think they can take a lot of competitive confidence out of that and bring it into Suncorp Stadium. We talked about Manly and how they are completely re-energised when Tom Trbojevic is on the field. And, of course, Marty Taupau, he'll be in a bit of a mood if he's able to come back. But I think Tevita Pengai Jr. and Payne Haas, they'll be the big influences in this. If they can take on Manly's pack, I think the Broncos have got a real shot here. And given it's Magic Round, it's, you know, they're hosting all eight NRL games at Suncorp Stadium, I've tipped the not home side, the Brisbane Broncos.
Yeah, I think the Broncos have improved the last couple of weeks, but I just see Manly as being one of the form teams of the comp at this stage, and what Tom's doing at the back for them has been phenomenal. You know, they've lost one out of their last five, and that was to Penrith. Cherry Evans is playing really good football at the moment. They get to power back, which is a big inclusion. And I don't know whether the Broncos have got the points in them or as many points as this Manly side do. Manly can leak points, but their attack is brilliant. And I'll go with them. Jason Saab had a really good game last week. Not only scoring tries, but he made a couple of try-saving tackles. So he looks as though he's got his confidence up and playing the ability we all know he has. I'll go with Manly, and I think it'll be a tight game, though.
I'm going with Tommy Turbo. Yeah, then he is Manly. So if he's playing, yeah. I'm with them.
Oh,
you know what, Clarky? That makes a really good point, because that's what Magic Round is about. So yeah. If you're not necessarily a Manly fan, but everyone's a fan of Tom Trbojevic.
Exactly.
So people hang around. They're expecting over 40,000 for all 3 days, which is great. But people will hang around
Definitely.
To watch guys like Tommy Trbojevic play. It's fantastic. And I'm with you. I'm a big Tommy fan. But as I told you, I'm just going opposite day with my tips this week.
I'll be betting Brisbane +9.5, and I'll be tipping Manly. There you go. Bulldogs Canberra, 3 o'clock game Saturday. The Dogs $5.50 and Canberra $1.14. 15.5 big line here. Raiders the minus. And the big story for this game certainly being the dropping of Kyle Flanagan, with Jake Averillo and Brandon Wakeham in the halves for the Dogs, whilst Josh Hodgson returns from a calf injury on the bench for the Raiders, who just have to win this game, Vonnie.
Must win. I have tipped the Raiders. Although you have to admit that off the back of 5 straight losses, this is a bit of a danger game for Canberra, because the Bulldogs are competitive. They like to go out. They like the collision. Luke Thompson and Dylan Napa, if you don't think that they've done their homework on Josh Papali this week, you'll be sorely mistaken. That will be a colossal contest. I'm really looking forward to that. As you mentioned, Averillo and Wakeham in the halves for Canterbury Bankstown. And Josh Hodgson back on the bench. Still no Jared Croker. He's still a week or so away. And Sian Sekulkwikstar, still a few weeks away as well with that neck injury. But I've tipped the Raiders just because I want Ricky to have a nice trip to Brisbane. I want him to be able to go and relax and enjoy the two premiership points, because, you know, a win can fix a lot of things. And the Raiders just need to get that done. Unfortunately, it might be at the Blue and White's expense.
Yeah, it's an interesting game, this one, for the Raiders, because it's an easy game from the outside looking in. But knowing the Bulldogs and how poorly they played last week, I think they'll be up for the contest. Having said that, you look at the Raiders team, too much class. You know, Papali was good last weekend after being rested. Jack, when he runs the ball, is dangerous to handle. And losing 5 in a row, this team, they're better than that. I think they win and can win well.
Loz, if the Raiders lose this game, you better not come to work next week. This will be an absolute disgrace if the Raiders lose. We 2 days ago, we're still talking about them making the finals and a good enough squad on paper to be in the top four. If they lose to the Bulldogs, they're the worst team in the competition with that team, that squad they have on paper. I'm going the Raiders.
Raiders for me as well. Cronulla and Souths. Cronulla $3.80. The Bunnies $1.25. 10.5 is the line. Cronulla at the plus. Sean Johnson will have to wait another week for his 200th NRL game. Whereas Adam Reynolds is back and playing his home ground next year, Vonnie, for the Bunnies here.
Yeah, it's been a rough old week for the poor Rabbitohs, losing their their champion halfback, Adam Reynolds, which it looks like an impending departure to the Brisbane Broncos. And, of course, they were pumped 50-0 by the Premiers last week. So despite the history books telling us that any team that, you know, leaks a half century cannot win a grand final in 113 years of rugby league, I do not believe that. I think I've tipped South Sydney this week. I just think the Sharks just don't have that polish or class that they need at the moment, which is a shame, and especially with no Sean Johnson, who's out with that hamstring injury. So I think Josh Hannay, though he's gone back to the future a little bit, he's brought back Josh Dugan, and Andrew Fifita will make his first appearance for the 2021 season. So, look, a little bit of some fresher heads and fresher legs for the Sharks, but I don't think it'll matter. I think after that performance against Melbourne, which Wayne Bennett said he knew was coming, he could feel a capitulation like that brewing for many, many weeks, just with the attention to detail that the Bunnies had been tossing up. They'd been getting away with it just a little bit and fudging the numbers, but Wayne Bennett will have them switched on, and that will probably be the reset that South Sydney needs.
You'd like to think that'll happen this weekend, Vonnie, after getting beaten and touched up by Melbourne last Thursday night, where Josh Adokar was able to score 6 tries. I think this will be a tougher game than most people think. I think the Sharks, while they're not playing good football, any team that gets 50 scored on them, there's two ways they go. One, they either respond in a dominant fashion, or they just think, oh, well, that was just one of those games where we didn't have players playing for us and we'll be right. And they're still in that mind frame. And if they're still in that mind frame of, ah, she'll be right, we'll be able to just switch on this week and get the job done. Cronulla have shown that they're always gutsy. But I'm backing Wayne Bennett to have them in the right frame of mind, and Cody Walker and Marshall to be more involved. And Adam Reynolds, I think that's the key inclusion for this game. He'll be the one that can kick them out of trouble and get the Rabbitohs the 2 points.
Yep, Bunnies for mine.
Bunnies all round. Roosters are $1.22 and -12.5 at the line with Tab against the Cowboys, $4.20. This is the Saturday night game, and some of the changes here. Well, Lachlan Lamb, he returns at 5'8 for Drew Hutchison, who, Vonnie, suffered that awful injury. And how brave were the Roosters? It looked like that Parramatta could have really blown them away at a point there in the second half last week, but they just hung tough. And really, Parramatta only sealed it in the last few minutes.
They're so tough, aren't they? And I didn't realise how committed they were. It was just, you know, because I guess we get drawn into the conversation, oh, they're just the glamour club and they're the nice Eastern Sydney set and the Bondi latte sippers. But I tell you what, they have shown so much resolve over, I would have to say, what is one of the worst injury crises that club has ever seen. They've had a torrid time of it, the poor red, white and blue Roosters. And not only that, they've luckily that weird COVID outbreak at the Azure Cafe, which is on the doorstep of Roosters HQ, hasn't skewered them getting into Queensland either. So, as you mentioned, the really good news is that Lachlan Lamb is back, and as James Hooper mentioned last night on NRL 360, they've upgraded the contract of Sam Walker, who's absolutely been boy wonder. I adore everything about him. After every game, he's had a, you know, freight train of traffic coming at him for 80 minutes, and he pops up on screen, and his hair's all dishevelled, and he's got bits of bark off all over him, but he's having the time of his life, and I absolutely love watching him play. So I think the Roosters have done such a magnificent job. Their coach, Trent Robinson, he got a $10,000 fine, but it's been suspended after he called the bunker and the referee incompetent after that Drew Hutchison incident. But he's just got to watch his P's and Q's from here on in. But I've tipped the Cowboys because, as I said, it's opposite round. and I think that was super impressive in their Queensland derby in Townsville. Jason Taumalolo, he's still wearing a bit of a hand guard on that second fractured hand. But to see him charge and trample over Broncos, plant the ball down under the uprights, lock it up at 18-all, and then for Clifford to have a bit of a bobble and then still get the ball out to Val Holmes to get away that match-winning field goal. I just thought that was a bit of a turning point for North Queensland. They've done it tough. They've looked stale for a long, long time, but hopefully things are starting to click now with Todd Payton. And Jason is set to bring up his 200th NRL game. I think they'll want to celebrate their heroic captain in style. I've tipped North Queensland, and the Roosters are only 2 wins from 9 trips to Suncorp Stadium. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
I'm going with the Roosters. I love their next man up mentality. They've got a tough resolve, lost plenty of injuries, faced adversity, but it doesn't seem to worry them. They always go out and give a good account of themselves, and they've still got some class players, Tedesco, Josh Morris and Sam Walker. You mentioned Taumalolo. Isn't it amazing that, you know, he's had that much time off, but he came back first week a little bit rusty, but the second week he found his rhythm. I thought he was excellent. But two different style of locks this week. You got the Victor Radley's type style that, you know, becomes a bit of a link player, aggressive in the middle, can show and dig into the line, where you've just got that powerful forward in Jason Taumalolo that plays like that you know, other front rower.
What do you prefer as a lock?
It's an interesting one, Vonnie, because both of can be effective. It just depends on your style, I think. The way that the modern game is sort of trending, it's going towards that passing lock, the guy that can play a similar role to a second receiver, likes to get his ball, hands on the ball, and he's got that ability to pass, and you can load halves up on one side and the opposition look and go, well, they're the halves, that's where the ball must be going, and all of a sudden you've got that ball-playing lock who can go down the other side and take advantage of a numbers game and play what's presented in front of him. So I think the way the game is being played and the speed, I like that back rower that can play what's in front of him and identify numbers and take pressure off the halves. Having said that, I'd prefer Jason Taumalolo in my team.
Yeah, you're taking it. It's a really good point you make, because a Taumalolo and a Nelson Asifa-Solomono, they're a different species to the Victor Radleys and the Cameron Murrays, like, and even Connor Watson, like completely different gene pool. It's unbelievable.
Yep, 100%. And it depends what your philosophy is, I suppose, as a coach.
So Roosters, who are we tipping?
Me,
so,
yeah,
Roosters.
Oh, sorry,
for
Roosters.
You. Roosters, Loz. Yep.
Vonnie,
Cowboys. Mate. Roosters for Pup. And Vonnie, I'm so tempted to follow you. I'm going to take the Cowboys plus 12.5, but I can't bring myself to tip them. So
I could be 0-8 after this round.
I like it though. Going rogue. Sprinkling the magic on magic round. Love it. Well, it's a scheduled 1:50 kickoff on Sunday. The Warriors up against the Eels there at Suncorp on magic round, and the Warriors $3 with tab. Parramatta $1.38, 7.5 is the line. Warriors the plus. And Vonnie, come on down. Jacob Arthur, the 18-year-old son of coach Brad Arthur, set to make his NRL debut after, what, a captain's run? So barely a training session with the team in the week leading up to his debut.
I love it. And this will be the NRL's newest father-son connection. As you mentioned, Jacob Arthur, son of Brad, he's 18 years old. And, of course, he's had a very limited preparation and build-up to this debut. He's elevated to the top 30. But as Junior Paulo told us, he feels like he's been part of the furniture around Parramatta for years, because he's been running around with the blue and gold since he was about 12, whizzing balls out at training and you know, running around, just hanging around, being a general nuisance, which they absolutely love. And he's a real footy head. He's a fitness freak. He's everything that you'd expect the son of the great Brad Arthur. So apparently the coach has been riding him pretty hard. The bizarre bubble setup is strange. So he's not been allowed to officially train with them just because he was deemed as a dirty player, given that the NRL players have gone in back inside the bubble to an extent. But he still lives at home with the coach. So it doesn't really make sense that he's not allowed to train with the players and touch things up until really the 11th hour. So, look, Jacob, I don't think we'll let that bother him. I absolutely love this storyline. I hope that he's able to just jump in there. And, of course, because Dylan Brown will not be available. Come on down, Jacob Arthur. I'm very much looking forward to seeing him in the Eels' colours. The Eels are travelling so strongly. Second on the ladder. They've got the second best attack in the NRL. They've scored the same amount of points as the Panthers, 264 this season. The Warriors are very steady. They're far more consistent than we've seen them in previous years. And I think they're building a very, very nice season underneath them. But the story will all be around the Eels and Jacob Arthur. Hopefully his debut will be a winning one.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Vonnie. I think the Eels can win. Looking forward to seeing young Arthur play, and there'll be a bit of pressure on him given that he's the son of the coach. But Mitchell Moses has been playing some terrific football. I love their go forward that they get through Campbell Gillard and Junior Paulo. And I said a couple of weeks ago that Isaiah Papali'i is the buy of the year. Geez, he's been sensational for Parramatta. He's keeping Sean Lane on the bench. They do welcome back Nathan Brown. I think they win, but the Warriors have been a bit of a surprise packet this year. I think they're playing better than most people thought. And I really like what Nathan's done because they're giving some of these young players an opportunity to play first grade this year, Rocco Berry, Reece Walsh, and they'll be better for it next year. And I think they're building nicely, but I just get the feeling that the Eels might be able to win this and win it comfortably.
Eels for me.
Parramatta as well. Now, Melbourne are $1.14. The line is 15.5. Storm, the minus against the Dragons, $5.50 with tap. Now, huge outs here for the Melbourne Storm. The line was actually 20.5. So it's gone down with these omissions for the Storm. Brandon Smith, of course, suspended. Harry Grant, a hamstring injury. Cameron Munster, a foot sprain. Ryan Pappenhausen may be a late inclusion here, Vonnie. But despite all those outs, they are still massive favourites against the Dragons. That says a lot about that club.
Yeah, do you know what? This is going to be one of those games where I tip the Dragons and think that I'm a genius, but then I heard Ryan Pappenhausen was training and could make a surprise appearance at Magic Round, and that changes everything. You'd imagine that Pappenhausen back in the number one, Nicho Hynes jumps into the hub. Kenny Bromwich is the hooker because, as you mentioned, the Cheese, the Munster, and the Harry Grant, they are all out. But we were thinking perhaps as morale officers, we could just put them in the middle of Suncorp Stadium for the weekend and get them on a few lemonades and just have like a live fan cam that you could press red and, you know, go and have a beer with those three, because that would be through the roof, just hanging out with those three characters. But the Melbourne Storm are just unbelievable. And I read someone very clever on Twitter said, good, the Melbourne Storm resume round 10, none for 50, after they brought up that half century over the Rabbitohs. And that's what it feels like. They're averaging over 40 points a game. It is just unbelievable what Craig Bellamy has been able to get out of these Melbourne Storm. So why would you tip against them? Even though the Dragons, they've been great. Points haven't been a problem. St. George Illawarra improving by the outing, but you just couldn't go against the Storm.
No, I'll go the Storm to win, but if I was having a bet, I'd be very tempted to go with the Dragons at the line at 15.5.
Melbourne Storm for me.
I'm with you, Loz. Another one, I'm taking the big line here, plus 15.5, but can't tip the Dragons, have to tip Melbourne. The last game of the weekend, and David Fifita suspended, unfortunately, as he rolled the dice at the judiciary. Penrith, massive favourites, $1.07. The Gold Coast Titans, $8. 20.5 is the line here. Would have really loved to have seen David Fifita come up against this star-studded Penrith side, Vonnie.
Yeah, no, David Fifita, he's got that two-game suspension. And Tino Fasua-Amalau was sent home yesterday from training. He's got some gastro, so I don't know. I don't know if they can get a bit of gastrolite into him or something, because they really need him for Sunday night up against these premiership winners. The Panthers are 9-0. Nathan Cleary told us that, yes, they celebrate the moment, and we see that that feels like never-ending team song, victory song each and every week, but they try and wipe the slate clean just to keep a fresh mindset. So just so the consistency doesn't, inconsistency and complacency doesn't bring them undone. So I think the Panthers will go 10 straight. It'll be a great way to finish off what will be a very entertaining Magic Round.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Vonnie. Look, it's difficult to tip against Penrith. I mean, they've been the best team in the comp so far this year, and they give no indications of if they're coming up against the team they're expected to beat being flat. They simply rise to the challenge and trying to convince everyone that they're the team to beat. They'll be too strong for the Titans.
Yep, Panthers.
Panthers all round. Now, before you go, Vonnie, Uncle Laurie, what's he got for us?
He was filthy on this last week because the tip he gave me, it actually got $5 the place, and he texted me straight away. So he said, did you do the run? I said, no, I missed the rodeo last week. Anyway, Rose Hill, race 3, number 17, Mighty Bill, Cathy O'Hara, Chris Waller.
317, Rose Hill, Mighty Bill is $10. $10 with tab, $3.30 the place. Uncle Laurie will have a statue at the Big Sports Breakfast Studios if this comes up. Might even over Loz's statue there down in Canberra. Never.
You can have it.
Vonnie, great to have you back on the show. And you go and have a great magic round.
Thank you very much, boys. I'm looking forward to it.